I'm starting to think Kieran might be a fan of Kylie Minogue back in the late 90s, early 2000s, because that was clearly an example of I'm spinning around, move out of my way. Believe me, I have to have a couple beers for better karaoke. I mean, ask TBB in Orlando, they'll tell you.
Welcome, Sacramento soccer fans, to another episode of the State of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Luis, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the 3-1 win at home against Loudoun United. I know I said it wrong again, but in what
okay,
was...
keep it, honey. That is just so you.
Yeah, but you guys are going to hear it again when we travel. Well, wait, no, we're not going to travel to play against them. Nope, they're in the East, so there you go. Last time you're hearing it, unless we happen to play against them in the Open Cup, which would be weird, but could happen. But we're going to be talking about that match, all that went on, because it was full of different emotions. And I'm glad that the ending emotions were good and not as bad as they were throughout the match, with the match official being a notable alumni of the School of Melvin Rivas, for sure, as I'm sure Jared will agree with us here. Also, we're going to be talking about our upcoming opponent, which is one that Jared is very familiar with, Phoenix Rising. Next Saturday, we travel down there to the land of the heat, and I'm sure it's going to be up there because it's pretty hot, and I know they recently reached 100 degrees, as Jared was saying, so we're in for quite a match over there. Also, we're going to be looking at standings, podcast winner dinner, how that's looking like. Well, what did our proxies do to us, which they treated some of us well and some of us maybe not as well, but
I don't
we'll
think
find out.
Some of us didn't get treated well. One of us didn't get treated well. Some of us, two of us did.
Yeah.
Oh, he's that's grimacing. True. Look at that. Oh, so for those of you listening in and you can't see this, but we can. Jared's eyes are closed and his head is shaking, and he has that look on his face that if, you know, like he just ate something really sour.
And of course, we're also going to be talking about USLW, which kicks off their season next weekend. We're all really excited to see Stockton Cargo, Academica, and Cal Storm start a new season. Hopefully they can all make it to playoffs so we can see a matchup of theirs then. But let's go ahead and introduce, as usual, our two team members here of State of the Republic. First, let's go over to the guy that Sharon just described that has a really cool background. He just told us it's in Tempe. How's it going, Jared?
Trying to get out of here. we've had some delays here and there with the moving, but we're just trying to get everything packed up, get everything headed out east of Texas. But other than that, you know, just trying to keep cool. It's somewhat warm out here and glad for the win, but going to be real disappointed. I'm not going to be at 38th Street in Washington this Saturday night. But other than that, you know, just keeping positive.
Unless the extension can happen until Sunday. Is there any probability?
We have to be out of here by the 30th, which is tomorrow on recording time.
Well, I guess that means I'm next, and everything is just hunky-dory here in Elk Grove. Weather's great, doesn't get windy, but after last Saturday's win, 3-1 against Loudoun, it was fabulous. Yeah, I think I just kind of corrected the pronunciation there in that. Right, Luis? Okay. Yeah, so all is good, and I got to see both Luis and Alicia at the match amongst many. We'll get to that in a little bit, but at least everything good over there in Modesto?
Yeah, everything is good. As you mentioned, good weather over here as well. It was a bit windy yesterday, but we were in San Francisco. I don't know how it was for you guys yesterday. Yeah, there was quite some wind over there. But other than that, it was pretty sunny there, and it was a great evening yesterday. And the new league's getting started with us traveling down to Phoenix in a really great form. I think in past years, sometimes when we travel to Phoenix, we haven't been the best of forms. So it's great to be able to be the team that can be the favorites against Phoenix, despite traveling over there, because we know how tough of a team they've been. And we also know that they always won. And it might just be a regular season game, but we know we want to beat them every single time, right? We beat them in Open Cup already. We've beaten them in regular season. But we just got to get back at them, especially if we're not going to play playoffs. But I think we might be playing in playoffs again, because it just destiny usually aligns those two teams. But other than that, let's go ahead and get kickstarted with Gloss of Gratitude, Sharon. So go ahead and kick us off with that.
Hey, everybody. It's time for Glosses of Gratitude, where we take a minute and sound off our gratitude for something that's happened in our lives or something about soccer. It's an open field. Glosses of Gratitude. Here we go.
Well, after kicking off the episode, I might as well just go ahead and jump in. There's a lot of folks to think about and to thank. Last week, my construction crew at Lytle Construction, right out of Elk Grove, well, actually the owner lives in Elk Grove, finished up a giant project for me on the side of my house. I just sent, through Messenger, I just sent you guys, some snapshots of the project and then a video of the cats using the project. So I had two catios built, two little, I swear to God, I feel so sad for them. They look like they're in cages, and sometimes they act like it, like they're caged animals in a zoo. And it's just like, what did I do to my cats? I just caged them. The thing that I hate about zoos, I did it to my cats. But anyhow, they're going to be safer. They get to go out anytime they want. They have a flappy door from inside the house to outside the house. They both have figured out how to use it, which is really amazing to watch cats figure out a larger dog door. So anyhow, I have to thank Lytle Construction for that. And then the squad for 3-1 and Trevor, oh man, that man came up after the game. He had already said hi to everybody. He was like one of the last to leave. And we had the most wonderful conversation with him. Huge glows of gratitude to him. And he had the sly grin on his face when we mentioned, you know, we talk about you. And he goes, I know. I listen. I think he said something like that, right, Luis? He was like so excited.
Yeah, he listens. Yeah, he hears us. And he he actually went and spoke to us. So, hey, Trevor and any other player we like speak about, prove us wrong, whether it's on the pitch or off the pitch. Like, we like to be proven wrong.
Yeah, and we even gave him a new sticker. So, because he said the other one he had was kind of wrinkled. And it's like, yeah, you probably shoved it in the bottom of your shoe bag. Well, I mean, maybe that's where it belongs. But then the staff, oh my goodness, I had such great interactions with Kyle and Jackson and Michael Donato and Amy Hanrahan. The staff was really pretty darn sweet over the weekend. And we're going to talk about something weird that happened with respect to CalEx, but we'll get into that later. It's kind of like a solved, unsolved mystery that's unsolved, but solved. We'll talk about that in a wee bit. But yeah, so those are right now my glosses of gratitude. I know I have more, but you know, life goes on, and I'm so appreciative of all the little things that make our lives wonderful. Jared.
All right. Well, I've got a couple of glosses of gratitude. Last week, we had actually a couple neighbors across the street help us out on Thursday night or so, helping getting some stuff packed in. Greatly appreciated. They unfortunately had some other errands to run. Otherwise, they would have helped us out the past couple of days. But you know, aside from that, definitely appreciated. Also, want to give Guazzo's a gratitude for to CBS Sports Guazzo for having the match this week. So that way, I didn't have to mess about with ESPN Plus or privately on the Fox 40 website. And it was actually still a great experience. Still felt like I was watching Fox 40 on my phone. So definitely appreciate that. And once again, not discounting Fox 40's efforts. You know, I'm just glad that they're around because they still have the matches when Guazzo doesn't. So definitely appreciate that. Also to the club for once again, just showing up and just showing out, especially here in Phillips, who we'll talk about later on. Home debut got us moving in the right direction, and now we remain the only undefeated team in the Western Conference. So thank you very much, fellas, for that. Appreciate that. Probably got a few more, but those are the biggest ones I can rattle off my brain for right now. So, Luis, what about your guazzas?
So for me, first one goes out to my girlfriend, Alicia, for going with me to the game because she actually had a really busy day before the game. And luckily, we made it on time and there wasn't that much traffic, thankfully. But I know it's not easy when you're pretty much working a good part of the day to still be able to make it to the game for her. Also, another one out to Trevor, as Sharon mentioned. We appreciate him listening to the episode where we spoke about him and him not coming to talk to the fans and him realizing like, hey, I probably should do that because it's not easy sometimes feeling like, you know what, I should change that. You know, maybe I did the wrong thing and all that. So great on him for doing that. Also, another one out to Amy for buying me a drink. That was really awesome of her to do that. Another one goes out to John for giving me great predictions for our podcast winner dinner competition. Keeps me at first place and still keeps me with a decent lead. So thank you, John. Definitely, you know, again, don't expect any points always, but it's nice when you do get some points, especially when you're in the lead. And then another one goes out to the people that are in the neighboring seats in section 105, row 10. And I wish I could remember everyone's names, but I'm really sorry. I'm not that great with names, but once I've spoken to you maybe two or three times, then I can associate your name a lot better too. And also when it's really noisy in the stadium, it's kind of hard to pick up people's names and remember it, especially when you're distracted with the referee being as bad as he was, which we'll get into it here shortly. But really awesome being able to talk to the people around my section and getting to know all the people that are there. And let me tell you, Sharon's not the only one there that has been there since 2014. It speaks a lot about any team when you have season ticket holders that have held on to their seat for so long or have been season ticket members but have been rotating around the stadium and eventually, you know, arriving at 105, which is the best section. So shout out to all them.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to Coach Briggs, who kind of got us going in some of the cheers. I don't know if the camera picked up any of it, Jared, but when we were quiet, he turned around to 105 and literally was just like, come on, get it going. And the minute he does that, we realize we need to be doing that like pretty much the whole time. So what that does, it gets our whole section and the sections near us going. And we just kind of don't stop after that because we realize that we're needed and it's nice to be needed. So Coach Briggs, I know you don't probably listen to the podcast, but Connor or anybody else who is listening to the podcast, it's really useful to remind the fans that are watching that it's not television, so we can be loud, you know, because sometimes we get complacent and we're just like focused on the game and we forget that we need to kind of cheer and encourage and chant and hit the, you know, bang the stands with our heels so that, you know, that gets loud closer to where the players are in the attacking half of the field. So kudos to Mark for getting us going. Don't stop. And Connor, tell him don't stop. And if we're not doing it, Connor, you need to, well, if you're down there, you know, kind of get us going. Tell somebody to get us going. I don't care. Andre, somebody, Bradley, tell us to get our butts up. Players, you know, Jared, the other Jared, Mazzola. Yeah. Tell us to get our butts up and cheer for you guys. It really works. Thank you for that, Mark.
That and also Coach Briggs probably wanted that 100th USL win pretty badly Saturday night as well. And thankfully he got it. So I'm just glad we were able to help in some small manner secure his 100th win as a USL coach. He's already hit 100 wins in his career. So this is the second 100 club he's joined now.
Plus it was already like they had that jersey that they gave to him all framed up and all that too. So I'm sure they're pretty glad that they don't have to like store that somewhere.
Or take park. It to Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oof. Can you imagine that? That's a whole row in the airplane.
Sure, yeah. And if he were to have it there in Phoenix, I mean, that would just rub more salt into the wound for the fact I'm going to be on the road or breaking into a new home and whatnot. But either way, 100 wins, you know, you can't really beat it. And he's only the second active coach to do so, third overall in the USL.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, Sharon, because another colossal gratitude to my girlfriend. While we were watching the game, she was asking me like, hey, you should start a chant, right? Because as you know, Sharon, right, there's moments in the game where our section, which isn't typically quiet, there were plenty of moments where I think our side could have been a little louder. So she was asking me to start a chant, and I just really couldn't figure out what chant can people pick up on. And so an idea for the team to do is something that TBB actually did at one point, where you could just make little cards with the chant. Doesn't have to be anything too long, but give it a name to the chant, put it on the board when you want people to start doing the chant, give it to other people, maybe put it in their seat, I don't know, do something like that. So that way, when it comes time to do the chant, everyone can pick up their little card or little paper, whatever they want to do, and then actually read it off every single game. I think if they start doing that, it might start getting picked up and people will actually know what to say, right? As it's going, they'll know, hey, reference the paper. Here's the lyrics to whatever it is that we're saying. Maybe keep it simple.
So I'm going to rain on your parade. They don't like to produce paper or cards unless they have a sponsor. And here's why, because it ends up being trash and litter. You know, even those yellow cards from the Office of Traffic Safety, those end up getting just chucked around. And they have a philosophy at the club to not make print. But to your point, they could actually put it on the app. They could actually put it on the app. You could just pull it up on your phone. So yeah, same thing, but they could, you know, have something on the board that does refer to your app. Oh, and by the way, that new signboard or whatever that thing, that Jumbotron. Jumbotron. It's a freaking Minitron. You have to wear binoculars just to see the replays. It's not good. We had a huge Jumbotron to begin with. Where's the insurance policy that gets us the same size? What a bitch about this. I didn't mean to derail the conversation about what your good things you were saying and then me jumping over to the Jumbotron. And
no, that's a good point.
Oh my God, that thing is such a dinky thing. It's like somebody got a size 3X pants and put a size, you know, Luis in them. You know what I mean? Nothing against 3X, Jared, nothing at all. But it was just, the frame was huge. The Jumbotron old frame is still there. And you have this little tiny, like, television inside this giant frame. You can't see it. Anyhow.
Now, I wonder, is it just temporary? Like, are they maybe, like, it's permanent?
They mounted it.
Wow.
It's mounted. I know.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Well, they need to change that, too. And, you know, and now that I'm realizing it, isn't that screen the screen that used to be over? Because I remember at some point we had a screen that was next to where the popcorn stand is at now. No,
you remember? Yeah, it was on a temporary trailer. It was temporary. I think we rented it.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that was a rental. Jared, go ahead.
Okay. Now, to counterpoint on that, I did actually get a response from Connor Sutton. He states, quote, "Actually bigger, but there aren't sponsor signage around it yet, so it looks smaller." So that's the response I've got as far as when I remarked that, hey, doesn't it look smaller? Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to pull the positive out, but no, it's the screen is smaller. When they showed the old screen that was still up and this screen that they were using before they mounted it, the old screen was huge, huge. Even with sponsor signage around it, the old screen size was larger than this one. You can't fool a fooler. That's not the word I wanted to use, but I don't want to get bleep.
Bring back the sponsors and we'll get us a bigger screen. We don't mind seeing sponsors, like just bombard the screen with sponsors, but
well, I'm glad you checked with Connor, but I beg to differ. It is small.
Yeah.
Moving on, sorry. I didn't mean to derail you. I know we want to get into the game and you know, you're probably going to show some videos of my cat structure because I sent them and, you know, and the cat structure. Oh, no, this is soccer.
Well, we'll have a state of the pet segment at some point as well. So that'll happen sometimes too. And state of the food and all that, because the cats, I think, deserve their own segment at some point, right? They make an appearance. You got to have something for them too. But yeah, let's go ahead and talk about the game. 3-1 was the scoreline in a game that seemed to have, like, it started easy, right? It felt like after that first Russell goal, 1-0, 10th minute, easy peasy, right? We're going to probably win like 4-0, 5-0. no one's going to get the predictions right. Or maybe Jared might get it because his prediction was 3-0. But I think none of us would have expected a game that would end up being what it was for most of the game, right? And getting tied and feeling like the team was lost, at least that's the what I felt, right? A lot of passes that were not up to like our standards of passing. They were more up to maybe Las Vegas Lights of last year or maybe of this year, especially after their 6-0 loss. Definitely nothing that I think I've ever seen with us at this stage being first place. Like we have to do some more like passing drills or just make sure we're getting better at that and not do the mistakes we did in this game. But they tie us. We go on pretty much most of the game with that uncertainty. Subs happen. And then Kieran Phillips, who would have expected, right? He ends up getting a brace in the game and surprising us all and doing better with the statistics, as we'll be talking about here shortly. But I just want to hear your guys' overall thoughts as usual before we get into the first goal. How'd you guys feel throughout the game?
So being there live and watching it in person, I saw a little bit more creativity with our squad. I think they activated Luis Felipe a little bit more in this match. So he was a little more involved, which, you know, that was important for me to see him doing different roles. But there were some times between our lines of defense and the midfield and the strikers, the movement all together up and back, you know, just overall, there was a little lack of, how do you put it where you've got to track back if you're a striker, you've got to be a little bit more aware of the ball watching kind of situation, you know, watching sometimes a forward, you know, 5 yards away from the opponent with the ball and they're not putting any pressure on them. So it's like little things like that still need to be cleaned up. We made a couple of goofy errors in the beginning, you know, the one that led to the goal loud and scoring. But overall, so I got to tell you, Mark expects our guys to score in the very beginning. I think we heard him say, and I think you heard my sister Louise repeat that 3 minutes had gone by on the clock and he hollers at the player. It's been 3 minutes. Where's the goal? Literally. It's like, okay, we didn't score in the first 3 minutes, but we scored in the 10th minute. Thank you, Russell, for that. And then my sister said that he's no longer the number 11. He's the number 10. But then he quickly said, no, Christian Pirano is the number 10. It's like, well, you scored in the 10th minute, so you're number 10. But Mr. Saturday Night came out well. You know, he played well. Trevor Amon, he's got the nickname and he told us how it went. Overall, you know, I think we shored up some things that we needed to shore up as the game went on. Otherwise known as, we got two more goals with super subs. We got some great minutes out of our subs. If you took a look at when the subs occurred, we really got some excellent minutes out of them. And it almost seems like, okay, so sometimes when guys come over from a high level in Europe or a semi-decent level over in Europe, they come over and they play in the USL Championship League and it's like playing pickup ball to them. It's a little easier to read the defense and, you know, the opponent's defense. And let's just say Kieran read their defense so well that he was able to just work his way through and score. So if he does that all the whole time and he just treats the opponent like a beer league team, he's going to do really well. And he needs to rub off on the rest of the guys to just remember that we're way better than most teams. So we should be scoring a whole lot more. You know, just treat the opponent like a beer league and or a beer league team. And we should be good to go. And yeah, we can do that against Phoenix. Literally just march through their defense. Just drive a Mack truck through it. We can do it. We can do this. Anyhow, Jared, what did you see?
As far as the first half, or first portion of the first half actually went pretty great. I mean, we took it to Loudon quite a bit, but it seemed like Loudon read us a little bit and kind of picked up on our game and just kind of held us down. I mean, after the first goal, of course. And then we had the second half. It just was getting a little bit rough, but then and also we were seeing a lot of Loudon players just, for lack of terms, decided they didn't want to be friends with gravity. put it that way. I mean, we saw a lot of players just going down and just kind of taking their sweet time getting up. Some of them were legit injuries, I get, but it just seemed like they just wanted to go to the well, you know, fairly often. And it just seemed like there were players just coming out, you know, with injury here and there. I will say, yes, the Roro challenge, that one, you know, I totally get that was legit and everything like that. So, there, I mean, there's that, but there's just seem to be too many Loudoun players just deciding, hey, if I can dive, you know, we'll get some more going for us as well. So it just seemed like tryouts for the LA Olympics. I mean, that was my guess out of all of this, but oh well. It ended the way it did. And yeah, with Kieran Phillips, I mean, just making the home debut, he decided he wants to be a dentist as well, just like Trevor Ammann. So we got us a dental office for a home pitch now. I mean, two players making their league and team debuts, scoring braces. I mean, I'm gonna have to go out there again, you know, get some brace work done. I don't know, you know.
We do have that sponsorship, I think, great with Delta still, so.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, that keeps people in business when we start making jokes like that. And your memes were so spot on about, yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention the flopping that Loudoun did. You know, granted, one player did come off, and I told some of the friends around me because I saw him come off field at halftime. He was scraped up. It was not a good thing. And I don't know if that was the Roro challenge or the one after that, but his whole shin was, he's going to have welts, and he was pretty bloody. His shin was bloody. So I don't know if he did that, a player, I don't know how, and I don't know if that was the player that got fouled that had to come off, but it wasn't good. So I kind of felt bad for him. They also, it was the Roro challenge. It was the guy who was down for a while where they gave him the broken leg test where they tap on his heel and then they tap, you know, different parts to see what that does. Anywho, I felt bad, you know, seeing that. But they flopped a lot. I mean, yes, the referee, and Luis is going to get into this right now, the official did fall for a lot of their flopping, but it wasn't called equally initially. And then once he doled out 6 yellow cards to us and 3 to the other team, I think that's a record. Have we ever seen 9 total yellow cards in any one of the matches we've played? Maybe. But that was a ton of yellow flying around the stadium. We wanted their team to get more yellows. We wanted their team to get a red, a double yellow, but he was hesitant to do that. Anyhow, you just don't want guys sitting on yellows as the season comes.
Well, Rian's going to answer your question, Sharon, I'm sure, in the Sacramento soccer fans. Actually, pose this for sure. But I don't think it's that common, right, that you see that many cards. And as I mentioned, yeah, the referee, his name I actually just had here pulled up, is Trevor Wiseman. So maybe not as wise here because he actually believes some of the flops that you guys mentioned. But I will say that Roro challenge, I was a little afraid that would be called as a red card.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he just pulled a yellow, but that could have easily been a red card. Now, I haven't seen the play again, but just seeing it at first glance, and we know some referees, that's the first judgment call they make is whatever they just see instantly. And it was really early on in the game, but I'm glad he didn't, but it could have been. Again, I don't know exactly if he got to the ball first because I haven't been able to see that replay in particular. And maybe, Jared, you can give us more insights since the TV angles are much better than the small screen that we have at the stadium. But yeah, it seemed pretty risky, even if it was like ball first.
Yeah, from how Rob and Adam were describing the play as it went through, it did show studs up, but it looks like they were at almost the last few inches or feet or whatever, did make the attempt to draw his foot away, so that way it wasn't fully intentional. But, you know, it still got the defender, so it's nonetheless, the guy's leg probably by now looks like it's about ready to light the beam. But, you know, I'm still hoping that, you know, it's not as severe as it looked, because like Sharon said, it might have been the same player. But, you know, to have your leg look like a birria after taking a challenge like that, I mean, it's not good at all.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. And that's something that our players need to make sure they don't do, right? Like, if you're going to go to a challenge, don't go that way, right? Because another ref, again, could have pulled a red, and it was so early on in the game that that would have been a game changer, and we probably wouldn't have even tied the game if we would have been a man down, or it would have been really difficult to manage that, especially since, you know, we had a tough time in with the the full squad, especially after they tied. But let's go ahead and take a look at the goal, how it all went down. Started off. Oh,
I love it. I just love
it. Yeah. It was a great goal, right? You got different passes going on. And ultimately, the guy that wants to take the shot, which, you know, Roro's been taking a few shots here and there, right, in the games. He pulls a shot, which was a pretty good shot. It was pretty strong, right, that the goalkeeper couldn't actually hold on to it. But thankfully, Russell did what he did last season, which is like follow the ball, follow the rebound. And he does just that. And he jumps and in classical Russell fashion, right? Scores a header goal. And there we have it. 1-0, 10th minute, maybe not 16 seconds, but hey, 10 minutes into a match. That's still really early on. Like,
I loved it.
So it was great.
You could tell it was one of those things. We don't always have the same focus all game long, but those knockdowns, rebounds, and following the shot, that is basic tactics when you're talking soccer. So to see our guys actually pull it off, look at right away, Russell's following the shot, and it paid off. Sometimes we forget to do that, and there's a knockdown and a rebound, and then the guys are sitting there with their hands in their pockets going, ooh, I should have followed that shot, or I should have followed the not been there for the knockdown rebound. So, you know, this was sweet. And then you also had Aldair running on, you know, running in also for the knockdown rebound. So I don't know if they decide in advance of the match who's going to, you know, track knockdowns, rebounds. But I would say we still need to keep doing that. You know, all of them, you know, Trevor, you gotta remember knockdowns, rebounds are oftentimes how you score. Obviously you've done it. So I'll leave that comment right there.
Yeah, this is just a great goal to watch. I mean, we see Aldair set it up. Roro was a beast all game long. I mean, he was just running up and down the field all 90 minutes, it seemed. And then he decided to pull the trigger, let this shot go. And as Rob was in the middle of his spiel with 8-1-1, call before you dig, I'm sorry, but I dig this goal. So no call needed.
Yeah, pardon us for interrupting the commercial to show Russell's fabulous goal. But hey, don't do a commercial when we're on the attacking third. I mean, geez, time it better, dude. I mean, nothing against Rob. They have a script they have to follow. But my goodness gracious, I'm so glad they did interrupt the commercial for this announcing the goal.
Yeah, they can always. In fact, it's even better if your ad happens when the goal happens, right? As a sponsor. It's on the screen. We've been looking at it a few times now. So I think I would give up a commentator not even mentioning it if it means my brand being on the screen when the goal comes by, right? Because this is being seen throughout the country. So that's a neat thing to be able to have for your brand. But yeah, that put us up 1-0. Again, looked like a game that we could have just kept on going after that. But unfortunately, it seemed like we lost our focus when the tie came by, and yeah, it just came out of nowhere. I think no one in the stadium was ever expecting that even they would even get a goal. I thought we're going to see another clean sheet here. It's all going to be great. We're just going to keep seeing the goals come by. But let's talk about that goal that they end up scoring on us to here and what went down, because I felt like the entire team looked lost. It just seemed like they scored it really easy, right, Sharon? And you being also at the stadium, like I was, like, what was everyone's like feeling there? The people like next to you and just seeing what was going on, right? Because like guy was literally like kneeling down, and at least from my perspective, like some of the players were blocking the view, but I just saw the guy like stand back up, no one do anything at all, and just literally just put the ball in the corner, it hits the post, and then a guy, of course, gets the rebound, manages to actually shoot it right in the corner where no one could actually block it there, and gets the goal. But we shouldn't have let it get to that point.
We had cover. The guys, when they saw Danny come way out, the guys came back to cover. It was just an unfortunate situation with ping pong. you know, the knockdowns, rebounds. You know, Danny thought he could get to the ball when the guy fell, but it didn't happen that way. And, you know, it's just that, yeah, I don't know if it was a miscommunication of, oh, okay, Danny's got it, but we had three guys covering the goal mouth. You know, they did a good job. You're supposed to pressure cover balance. That was a good cover when they saw that Danny came out, right? So we had three guys, initially just one guy tracking back. And then it was three. I think it was Lee was the first one back to cover the net, if I'm not mistaken, because Connor was Lee was first to get back. Aldair was second. And then I think Jared didn't recover. Yeah, I think it was Jack. Jack made his way back. So they did their jobs. You know, the guys did their jobs, but it just didn't work out. It literally was a knockdown rebound.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's that luck of the Hart Health Park posts. It works against us, works for the other team. I mean, they had, you know, the initial shot, I mean, just far out enough to where Danny could come out of the box. Once it hit the post, Danny realized, oh, yeah, I got run back. And he was running back as hard as he could. But unfortunately, just the science of the ricochet off the post and the Loudon player where he was just made it an opportunity for him. I mean, there were, like you said, there was definitely defensive coverage, and Danny just hustled as fast as humanly possible to get in a spot to where he could get it. But unfortunately, the timing was not the best, and Loudon ended up getting a goal against us.
And this is just my opinion here, but I feel like maybe Danny shouldn't have come out of his line as quickly as he did. I think that we had enough coverage that he could have been in the same position he was in and we would have been better. I just feel like it, right? Just because, and I know no one may would have expected the guy to lift the ball up like that, especially so quickly, because we're looking at it here in slow motion here and with so many guys on there. But
what Danny did, you know, when the guy came up, yeah, he had guys that could have been in front of, but nobody was getting in front of the ball. Nobody. Connor was still down. And so what Danny did was he made himself big. He tried to make himself big. He tried to go out there. He knows his angles. And what he was trying to do was cover the angle, which he did because the ball hit the post initially. He just couldn't get back in time for the knockdown rebound episode. But typically when a keeper does that, because remember I had one session of going back to the whatever National Coaches Association, I don't know, there was a big thing years ago, and I took the keeper class, and I was going to get certified in anyhow, but to make a long story short, that is one of the first things they teach a keeper to do is come out, be big if there are no other options, you know, and you see a shot coming. And you know, Danny's so hyper focused. So I got to give him credit for coming out and making himself big, because he did. He, you know, if you look at what he did, he made himself really, really big. It's kind of like when trying to scare away a mountain lion, or a bear. I forget which one. You make yourself big.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think it's a bear. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard of that one. Thankfully, I have not had an interaction yet, although I do want to see one. And my girlfriend will let you know that.
Yeah.
I might not wish for that, but oh, yeah, I guess I have seen a bear. I should let her know. I've seen Danny. I've spoken to Danny. There's a bear.
It's funny because there are people talk about Danny when he wears all yellow being Big Bird. And, you know, it's like, so there's that.
But yeah, but that goal made a big difference, right? I think, like I was saying earlier, it just inspired the Loudon players. Like they just kept going at it. Like it happened because I always say it over and over again. When you let a team score, it doesn't matter if it's a tying goal. It doesn't matter if it's a 2-1 goal and they're down. They're motivated to just keep going because they feel like, hey, we scored once. We could keep scoring after this. And that's exactly the mentality that they had. And that's why when you look at the stats, you'll see that there's plenty of shots by them throughout the game. More than I think we should allow on a wayside to have. But I think I'm going to complain again about this, even though we won. Feel like the subs should have happened much earlier because we just needed something to change, and which thankfully, you know, we saw that the subs came in. The game changed a little bit there, especially, you know, when Mr. Braceface came by and got the two goals there. I just think that I would have done the subs sometime between the 55th to the 65th minute. And granted, now the first subs came in the 72nd minute, which I don't know. It's already past the 70th minute. I don't feel good when it's past that, regardless of the situation in the game. But I guess if you're winning, you might get a little leeway there, especially if he wants to kill some time at the end of the game. Then I get it. That's a strategy that coaches implement for sure. But regardless, we saw the subs come in 72nd. We saw Jonathan Ricketts get subbed in for Aldair. Gotta say, Aldair, hats off to him. I think ever since he scored the goal in the last game, in this game, he looked more confident than ever before, and he's definitely gained his spot in the starting 11, and I hope that he keeps starting there. Roro was subbed out, I think understandably so, because of how the game was going, and Russell also subbed out, and I don't know what you guys are feeling like, and of course, I'm speaking when the substitution happened, because afterwards then... I got completely proven wrong, but I was a little disappointed at the time that Russell got subbed out for Kieran. I felt like Kieran could have been subbed in. You keep Russell in the match as well, because it was a 1-1 tie, and we just needed to just keep going forward, move all your forwards up front. You're at home. You got to win this game. You can't give up 2 points just like that. And so I was questioning that sub. I felt like he should have been subbed out for another player, but what was... your guys' feeling when you saw Russell?
I was actually fine with the subs. You know, I was fine with the subs. I was kind of expecting him to pull Trevor, but I think they need to, I think he's working with Trevor to work him on both sides of the ball defensively as well, because I think Trevor's still learning to do a little bit more of that. And Russell already does that. And because Russell was pounding the turf so much, he probably, if we had a tracker on Russell, I think his heat map would show more mileage. And so when you have a player that runs a little bit more than the other striker, you leave the other striker in and basically say you need to run more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to be put into a little bit of a different role now. So I was fine with that. I think we were blessed when Kieran came in, because we wanted to see how he plays, and he needed to have probably more minutes than that, because I have a funny feeling if he had been subbed in sooner, we probably would have had more goals out of him, because he just broke down their defense so easily. He was reading them like a cheap novel. Yeah, I was fine with the subs. And I agree with you on Aldair. You know, I think he's very confident now. But I mean, come on, when you're facing up to having a travel match coming up soon, you know, it's a different type of tired. Well, okay, so get this. I think the guys sometimes play better. We talked about this. When they don't have us, the crowd with them, they're not as tight. They play a lot looser and more free. And I think that when they're away, they just kind of have a lot more fun, because there's no pressure. There's no 12th man sitting on their shoulders. So I think it's going to be fun. They've got to rest the guys. You know, it's a long season and we're only in the very beginning. It's only end of April and we got Open Cup coming up and, you know, this weekend. So I'm liking the fact that he rested, that he pulled Russell. I'm good with that. That was a long-winded way of saying I was good.
Well, I mean, they were good substitutions as far as this goes. I mean, we know Roro, I mean, as much energy as he had, you know, you've got to give him some rest. I mean, you can't expect him to do everything as much as he wants to. And then Russell, of course, you know, having that first goal and then just tracking and just doing all sorts of running and everything like that. I mean, it does eventually catch up to him. So I was fine with the subs, especially having Kieran come on. I mean, we know he had his official league debut the week before in Irvine, and then to come out at home and just have a drag strip race towards the goal, not once, but twice. I mean, I don't know if it was Hardhill Park or the old Sacramento Raceway. I mean, he was tearing it up. I mean, just and I still say that Danny should have gotten an assist on one of those goals. I mean, on the second goal, I believe.
Oh,
I mean,
he put up a voting thing. He voted. You know, you could vote on his Instagram as to whether it was an assist, and I think we all agreed it looked assistish to me.
Yeah, I would say so.
Well, let's go ahead and take a look at those two goals that are new guy in town, right? First game in Sacramento, because let's remember last game was his first game, but it was an OC and it wasn't that many minutes as well, right? He was also subbed in a few minutes after what he was subbed in this game. A lot different, right? You're starting off at home with the fans and there's a lot of pressure, right? I think when you get subbed in for a guy like Russell, there's a lot of weight in your shoes. And that's why when that substitution happened, I was like, I hope he doesn't fall to that pressure, right? Of like, I just got subbed in for this guy who's like hometown hero at this point. I gotta like, you know, make a name for myself here too. And he did just that in the goal that ends up happening here in a great connecting play between Trevor and Kieran, right? Which is great that they are learning to know each other's style and play well together, just like Trevor does with Russell now. And he puts the ball to him. And just like Jared mentioned, I mean, the guy kept running. And it's awesome when you have a player that gets up then, that gets in these situations, because they're full of energy, right? They got fresh legs. If those defenders were playing the game,
he beat Drew Skundrich. And he beat Drew Skundrich to the ball.
Oh, yeah. Drew Skundrich, who, again, as you guys know, former player of ours, and who played basically all the game as well there, too. So, I mean, it's understandable, right? You got a guy who just got subbed in. He's going to beat you. It was really great to be able to see Kieran pull a run like that, because we like players who can pull runs like that, and we've had our fair share of them throughout the years, because when you get put in that situation, when you break the offside, you want a guy like that. And what I thought was even more amazing was not only did he pull the run, but he finished out the goal. And what I kept telling everyone, classical European style, like just a tiny chip that's just enough to go past the goalkeeper and get us the goal that meant we were up in the scoreline in the 86th minute.
You know, and we waited for him after the match. We waited and waited and waited. So, Kieran, if you are listening to the podcast, we're going to tag you when we do the story announcing this podcast. We're tagging you because we want to see you at the next game. We want you to come by our rail. We're either going to be in front of section 105 or greater. You know, we want to see you. We want to congratulate you. We want to feel the joy alongside you for, you know, these matches that you're playing and that you're involved with. And, you know, we didn't get a chance to congratulate you, but we are right now just so happy, and we welcome you to Sacramento. And what a way to say you're here. You have arrived in Sacramento. You score a brace, you're arrived. But I love the next goal.
Yeah, the next goal, which I agree with you guys and anyone else who says so, is definitely an assist by Danny Vidiello and should be considered as such. I mean, right, he's the one who ends up actually passing the ball to Kieran, who ends up just like churning around again, maybe another classical European goal there, pulling a shot right to the corner where the goalkeeper couldn't get it. I don't even know which one's my favorite out of both of them. They're both my favorite goals. I can't decide which one I would pick over the other two, but these are definitely two goals that will make it to the top 10 goals of the season for Republic. But what do you guys think after seeing this brace by Kieran?
That spin move that he did, that washing machine that he did on his defender, was like absolutely phenomenal. Drew Skundrich fell for it, wasn't in the right position. Sorry, Drew, if you're still listening to our podcast, which I doubt you are. But yeah, he just threw them in the rinse and repeat cycle and then just kept on going. What a power shot he had. And thank you, Rafa, for diverting a little bit of the attention away from Kieran, and he was right there for any knockdown rebound. So it was a thing of beauty, but the washing machine move that he did was phenomenal.
Yeah, definitely great job by Rafa for being the candy man, because he was definitely selling that candy, you know, selling the distraction on this move. And then Kieran, I'm starting to think Kieran might be a fan of Kylie Minogue back in the late 90s, early 2000s, because that was clearly an example of I'm spinning around, move out of my way. Believe me, I have to have a couple beers for better karaoke. I mean, ask TBB in Orlando, they'll tell you.
Oh, but, yeah.
this was a great move that Kieran had. I mean, he saw his chance shook Drew Scudrich's hand. Sorry, Drew, we still love you. Don't get us wrong. But he was able to just get that spin, break the ankles a little bit, and then nail in that second goal. And just to kind of go with Luis, I mean, his two goals, I mean, it's really hard to pick a favorite as far as this goes. I mean, we've got this second one, you know, great teamwork from both stretches of the field. And then, of course, you have the first one. You know, Kieran was feeling a little bit peckish, a little bit hungry there, because he just had to take a trip to the chippy shop with that goal.
Oh, we should have been at that karaoke place with you, Jared. I think we shouldn't have gone back to the hotel. No, I'm like, exactly. That would have been great.
I tried to tell you, but yeah. No.
I was hell-bent to get that slice of pizza from that guy that served it from that double Dutch door thing. I was hell-bent on getting one of those. Right, Luis? Weren't we just like,
oh, yeah.
That guy that I don't know, maybe it was a gal that was selling pizza out the Dutch door there in Orlando City, but man.
Yeah, if only I wasn't feeling so down because of, you know, the loss, but yeah, that, you're right. Yeah. If it happens again, we'll go to karaoke for sure.
There we go.
But yeah, that was, yeah. I like how Sharon describes it, right? The washing machine right there. And I also think it's really funny. One of the defenders, like, slide tackles, like.
He slid tackled nothing. The dude slid tackled nothing. It was like, you're sliding, but you fell for a move. And, you know, now you're
Not even a move, too. I mean, if you look at Kieran was just walking, and this guy, like, he reminds me of, like, the FIFA video games where when you get someone who's never played the games and they're just like pressing buttons and you start seeing people slide tackle. That's exactly.
FIFA glitch.
Oh my God. That's so funny. That, yes. You know, where you see on the video games where the guy just keeps like kick, 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 and he's nowhere even near a ball. He's just like doing.
Look at Kieran. Kieran just walked. Kieran did not even, he didn't do anything that would prompt the guy to.
I know. That is funny. That is funny looking at on replay over and over and over. This is super special. But I will say, I think their keeper needs to focus better, because I think if it was Danny Vidiolo, Danny would have stopped that. Danny probably would have got a hand on it. Danny would have blocked it because he would have predicted which way to go. And speaking of Danny, I do think that could have deserved an assist. But Kieran touched the ball too many times for it to be like a legit assist. Sorry, Danny, but I still want to give you the assist. You know, in my book, you're number one, because you are number one now, right? You changed your number. Love it.
One last thing that I just want to make a comment about, though, is that the last substitution that happened when Jared Timmer gets subbed out for Davian, it wasn't timed right. And I don't know if you guys noticed this. Maybe you did more, Sharon, being there at the stadium. But as the substitution was about to happen, Connor Donovan actually shouts at Coach Briggs, like, what are you thinking? Like, we're about to, like, defend a free kick, and you're subbing out Jared for Davian. Like, why are you doing that? And there was a few seconds of, like, confusion between everyone, right? Because I think people were like, is Coach going to like listen to Connor? Is he still going to do the sub? What's going to happen, right? And even Jared was like, okay, so what should I do? But he ends up being subbed out still. But I got to say, to be able to actually call out Coach, especially our coach as a player.
Okay, so Connor Donovan is probably going to hear an earful from Coach, you know, because it's like, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, nobody gets to. Well, anyhow, it happened. Okay,
yeah,
so I still didn't see that part either.
But I still think I'm like, even though, I mean, it's still, like, you have to find authority and all that, but I still got to say, you know, to actually be a player who's like feeling like I could actually voice my thought like that, knowing like Coach and all that, shout out to him. And I think any player should be allowed, of course, I'm not saying, you know, start getting into arguments, but if you feel something, then hey, go ahead and voice your thoughts. And, you know, he was pretty vocal when I like saw him. And that's why Jared kind of went back and forth with the sub. But yeah, you know, I think it was one of those things where the sub was already planned for. Of course, the foul happens and they got to do the sub, especially if it's already been announced. But it was just It was the timing that was a little bit off there. But of course, we're already winning 3-1. Davion got to see about like 3 minutes or so, close to 3 minutes of play there, which was nice, right? Because who would have thought that, you know, at the end of the game, we would be seeing Blake Wiley and also Davion be on the pitch, right? Especially with all the game was turning out. So I'm glad in just a few minutes, they got the chance to be subbed in.
So I got to say, Blake Willie, his grandparents were there, Mary Kevin and Dave Willie, whom you all know. I know Dave pretty darn well because I play pickup with him. And I know his dad, Brian, Blake Willie's dad, Brian. But they were over the moon. They were over the moon to watch him warm up and then to watch him get on the field. And I actually think Blake is getting a little tougher. I think he went in on a tackle or a shoulder charge and he took a tumble, but it was a solid shoulder charge that he did. And I got to hand it to the kid, you know, he kept going. So good for him. Anyhow, up next is Phoenix.
Yeah, up next is the Phoenix Rising. And let's take a look at like some of their recent games here. We know last Friday they traveled to Rhode Island, actually beat them 3-1. Previous to that, they lost 3-1 at home against Pittsburgh. And then before that, won 1-0 at home against Colorado. And then before that, tied 3-3 at FC Tulsa. So they're on an interesting run. I mean, they've had 2 wins and 1 tie, 1 loss in the last 4 games. So this could be a different Phoenix. This is not the Phoenix that started off, right? The season that, you know, didn't really have that many points there. So one to keep out an eye out for. 6th place is where they're standing at currently in the Western Conference with 10 points. 3 games won, 1 tie, and 4 games lost. But again, it seems like they're trying to get back to their winning ways. And it's never easy to get a win away, especially when you got to do a trip from Arizona to Rhode Island, right? That's quite a trip as well. Like, just like it will be for us when we do that trip here shortly as well. After that, they actually do play in the Open Cup as well on Wednesday. And they're actually going to be traveling out to North Carolina for that game. So makes you wonder, like, if some of the players might see some rest considering that, or I don't know. They might still probably, like, have their usual starting 11, but just something to think about since they have an upcoming game. But what do you guys think of Phoenix's form?
Yeah, once again, this is another point where they're pulling a New Mexico or El Paso card where we don't know which Phoenix Rising we're going to get. I mean, this is the team that last year, as we know, won the championship, but there's not that many remaining players from that championship roster. We also have to remember Juan Guerra, once he won the cup, almost immediately jumped ship to MLS to coach Houston. He also had, you know, quite a number of players depart to other teams. Kevon Lambert, he actually jumped over to San Antonio. Danny Trejo, he's playing in Poland now, I mean, which is a big blow to Phoenix. So really, the only real big name that I see Phoenix still having is their goalkeeper, Rocco Rios Novo. I mean, he's definitely no slouch in between the pipes. I mean, he's definitely helped save Phoenix here and there. But this is a Phoenix team that gave Pittsburgh their first win of the season a couple weeks ago. Barely escaped with a win against Colorado Springs, thanks to an offside whistle, offside flag. And then, you know, of course, you know, they did take out Rhode Island. I mean, that's kind of expected. If they were to lose to the new kids, you know, then Phoenix has problems. But as some Phoenix fans I've seen noted before, Phoenix usually chokes early in the season, but then starts making a comeback. I mean, if that's the case, they might want to get started on that comeback fairly soon if they want a good chance of at least finishing top four of the Western Conference and have a run at repeating their championship. But this is going to be an interesting match as far as this goes. I mean, we've had a decent record at the over by the airport, a lot better than over by the casino in Chandler. So this is going to be something that for anyone going to the match, I know there's at least a couple of fans going over to here in Phoenix to watch the game. If you can, definitely hit up the Venezuelan street food food truck if they still have it. But no, I'm serious because you know I can eat. And for me to have to take both of these home as leftovers for $18, I mean, you're going to get fed there, but also take the time to observe the scenery, maybe before the match, during halftime or so. You know, have a great time out here in Phoenix for me, because more than likely I'm going to be jet lagged, so to speak, 2 hours ahead of the match times now. So it's going to be late for me. But if you're going to the Phoenix to watch the game, please, please have the funnest of times. Message me if you want tips for going around town. Can't really work the Old Town Scottsdale context like I can, but thankfully Luis was able to partake in that the last year with me. but yeah, this is going to be a great match, and it's always a big rivalry whenever Sacramento and Phoenix play against each other. It's one of those Capital Cup matches, as you might say.
Exactly, and we have some business to take care of. We have unfinished business. We don't like them. We never have. I mean, we like the people, I'm sure, but we don't like them for many reasons. So let's, you know, this is going to be tough. We've got some friends that are going. I think Heather Sims is going to be at the match.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like, we just have to take it to them. And I can't wait to get to the podcast winner dinner winner thing, because I'm actually predicting a win for us.
Ooh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, we'll get to it right here shortly. But yeah, if you guys want any food recommendations inside the stadium, if you're going, let Jared and I know. We went to a really good spot, which I know we've spoken about here. Good Mexican place there. And we also kind of walked around, saw other food options. And I will say they have plenty of great options there if you're trying to decide what to eat, and also plenty of drink options. And then their team store is one that I keep saying we should model ours after. It's because of that, like, crazy, like, machine that they have that they could just imprint numbers and names right on the spot on jerseys. But I keep wishing one day we'll have that machine at Jorge Park.
And what Luis forgets to tell you is what was next door to the taco place is a specialty themed sub shop next door, the Chiba Hut.
State of the Food Podcast, or whatever we call ourselves when we start digressing into munchy foodie things.
Oh, that's a great spot. Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned it. Yeah, ooh, the sub was good. I forgot the name of it, but it was good. Anyhow, let's go ahead and talk about podcast winner dinner right here, because some of us got points. One of us didn't get any points, sadly. I'm sure there's no there's no hurt feelings there between Jared and his proxy, because it happens.
Well, but, Scott Bradford and Jared have the best bromance, I swear. You know, so that no matter points or no points from, you know, proxy work, that relationship is solid.
Now, I will say Mike and John, who were Sharon and I's proxies, they think alike. And when John gave his prediction, by the way, Sharon, this episode, the last episode, hadn't been posted yet. So they actually, yeah, they were pretty much on it. It just, they had a different first assist and a different backup, but both of them said Russell would get the first goal. Both of them had the 2-1 scoreline, and both of them also said Zach would get the first yellow card, and Sharon and I got 2 points with Russell and Zach getting the first yellow card there, which puts our standings at myself with 13 points, Sharon with 8 points, and Jared with 6 points there. So,
wait, in the basement.
Yeah, in the basement. Yeah, enjoy that. Do they have basements in Kilgore? Anyhow.
Might need one, you know, the Tornado Alley area, so who knows?
Who knows? So I have Sack 2-1 again. And this time I have Trevor scoring first for us. I think he's overdue. Well, he's not overdue. He skipped a game. So, you know. And then Russell as my backup, because those two. And then Roro as my assist. And then Sack with the first yellow might as well not ruin a good thing. I mean, they're on a roll.
Well, as for me, I'll actually say I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think 3-2, we get the win. First goal scorer, I'm actually going to go with Russell for this one again. If he doesn't score, he doesn't see the pitch, then I'm actually going to go with Kieran getting the goal. I have a feeling that Kieran's going to get more minutes because we have the Open Cup the following week, and I think Coach might want to rest some of the players because that's going to be a really intense game against Monterey. First assist, I actually got Nick for that. And then first yellow card, I'm going to go with Phoenix. Got a feeling we're going to have a riff that won't have me losing my voice this time. Jared.
All right. I know this is going to be a little difficult one for me not being there cheering the boys on, but you know what? I'm going to say Republic 2-0. Only because I hate the Rising so much. First goal, I am going to say, I almost want to say Trevor, but something tells me that might not be the case. I'm going to go Roro for my goal. And if he doesn't do so, I'm going to go with Kieran because, you know, I think Kieran's going to be on a hot streak. Assist, I want to go with, well, I would love to say Danny, especially this last week, but I know that's not going to happen. So I am going to say Aldair for the assist. And then at first yellow, I'm going to go with Phoenix.
Watch Danny actually get an assist, and then we'll have the recording playing again in the next episode.
Probably.
or Danny listening to us being like, oh, hold up, you know, hold my beer, right? I'm going to go and get an assist again.
Let me interrupt you guys real quick. Are we going to record before the Open Cup on Tuesday, or do we have to pick Open Cup right now?
Yeah, we'll be recording a post, yeah. Okay. So we'll have so the...
Maybe we can do it sooner than later since, you know, Jared's going to be on the fly. We got to catch him.
Yeah, hey, unless you guys just want to predict for Open Cup now.
No, because I got to see what the injuries are going to look like if they're...
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
But Open Cup will be really interesting. As I keep saying, right, there's opportunities to get more points, to just regain them, especially now that we have first assist as a category as well. And again, the extra time or no extra time could be an easy point. We'll see. But extra time isn't always a thing. So there you have it.
So standings, we're still first in the West. And so that's 2 weeks in a row that we are first in the West, clearly first in the West. There are other teams that have games in hand, like FC Tulsa and New Mexico United, but neither one of them could catch us right now on points, even if they were to get those games played and then win. They still can't catch us right now. The only one that's nipping at our heels is, of course, Orange County. If they win their next match and we don't, you know, then we would be back in that situation of being tied. So Sacramento Republic, you need to win. So let's look at the East, because we don't have to go down the list, but Monterey Bay is right there at the heels. So on the East, Charleston Battery is just like creaming everybody, right? They've had 9 matches played, so they're a game ahead of us. They've had 6 wins, 3 draws, no losses, so they've clearly won their matches when they go to win them. They don't draw. With
6-0 against Las Vegas is like the recent one, too. So yeah, this is a... Against the lights, that wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
We needed it at the end.
So Lou City is right after them, and Lou City is always Lou City, and they've also got 18 points, only 7 games. So 7 matches played, so they have a game in hand accordingly. But Detroit City FC getting beat. That was a freaking shocker by the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. That was shocking for everybody. I think it kind of sent it's like that we have work to do. Attitude now with that workman's like team. It's a very much, it feels like a blue collar team, you know, just kind of like that hard working team. I don't ever want to play them, but we have to. So on that note, you know, hats off to coach. And has Carlos been starting now in goal? I don't remember who the starting lineup was this last weekend.
I believe Nate Steinwasher is still goalie number one as far as the lineup goes.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. So I know Carlos got a chance to see the pitch, the Open Cup match that they were involved with in the round of 64, I believe, right? Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I think he stepped in for that one. But anyhow, you know, keep going, Carlos. We miss you. We love you. And, you know, we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, he might be an Open Cup main goalkeeper, right? Which they're going to have a tough game against Houston at Houston, so... We wish him the best of luck if he gets to play that game because we want an MLS team knocked out. We want all MLS teams knocked out.
And we don't want him USL only, USLC only, or USL. I don't care if it's League One or Two. Doesn't matter.
Hey, it could be that way. We could have a round of 16 if everyone did their job. We could have all the MLS teams knocked out before we even get to the quarterfinals, which would be like quite an amazing feat for all the teams to do that. But I will say one thing with Charleston Battery, they do have one more gameplay than we do, meaning that if we beat Phoenix, we could be tied for overall first place in the entire league. Now they, of course, because of the 6-0 trashing to Las Vegas, they got a lot of goals scored and their differential is out there. But
we could tie them if they lose their next match.
Yeah, or if, well, we have a game in hand, right? Because Charleston has 9 games played. We have 8 games played.
Right, but they're so going to continue to have more matches. So we'll, unless we catch up to them.
You know, Yeah. We'll have to wait until we catch it, which it's weird. Right? How do they have 9 games played? How do you have a Detroit that only has 6 games played? Which, by the way, I mean, they have 6 games played. It might look like they're falling down, but again, you got teams that have more games played than they do as well. So things are going to get more evened out once there's teams that don't have like big difference, like 3 games played, Charleston and Detroit, we'll have a better picture of how things are looking like there. But at least in the West, it's a little bit better, except FC Tulsa has 6 games played, where most of the teams have their 8 games or just missing one for a few there. It's nice to see in the West, 3 California teams in the top 3. Now, Oakland needs to pick it up too. They're in 9th place out of playoffs currently.
They have a new coach, a new interim coach, darn it. I mean, great for Gavin Glinton to take the reins, but kind of a bummer that Oakland is now in different hands, like part of mm-hmm. company. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they weren't patient at all, right? 2 games won, 1 tie, 5 losses. They expect more from that, right?
Well, they also gave Colorado Springs their first win, so that really didn't help matters much either. I mean, as we know, Oakland's had a tumultuous couple of years. I mean, especially with last year, the whole not quite tampering, but let's admit it, it's tampering kind of deal with Juan Guerra last year, and then now this year, Oakland is. I mean, they're in not really a hiatus, but they're stuck somewhere. I mean, they want to improve and they should improve, but they're just having a real difficult time trying to get their head above water, especially with the coaching change. But we'll see where this new interim coach takes Oakland.
Oh, yeah. We'll see what goes on. And they're going to have a big test against the Earthquakes in Open Cup as their first thing. So hopefully they can manage that part of it, too. So let's go ahead and talk about the USLW. A few of our local teams here kick off their participation this weekend. Now, Cal Storm actually participates a little later on, right? As they're dealing with the same situation, right? They're in WPSL, they're in USLW, which again, shout out to them for having 2 teams that can compete in both leagues. So they will be joining or starting the season for USLW a little later on. But this weekend, Academic and Stockton Cargo both host matches, which thankfully they're on different days as well. Academica plays on Saturday at 4 p.m. against Olympic Club. Should be a good one if you're out in the Turlock area. Go check out their game. 4 p.m. is the start time again. And then for Cinco de Mayo, Stockton Cargo plays against Oakland Soul, 6 p.m. Now not at Delta College where they previously played at, now at the University of Pacific. So if you get a chance to go check it out as well. I might be going to the game there, and they actually changed their structure. They don't actually charge ticket per person. They charge tickets per vehicle. So you are getting a really good deal. So bring a car full of fans out there, because that's, you can't beat that. That's just paying one solid price, which I might be wrong on the cost. I think it's like $15 or $16 per vehicle. So really super affordable. And if you get the season ticket, even more so as well. So those are the 2 games that we have this weekend. That should be a good one. Now, let me say, I went to Stockton Cargo against Oakland Soul last year in their very first game, and that was quite the game. Oakland Soul plays just like Oakland Roots. Top team to play against. They have a really good structure there with the Soul and the Roots. So you're going to be in for quite the game. Hopefully Cargo can get the win, but it's not going to be an easy one, because that's a tough opponent to play against, especially in your first game. And they know about it last year, but God pray that they can get the score and get their first win of the season there. And then on May 10th, on Friday, both of those two teams that are going to be hosting their games this week and are going to be playing against each other really early on now in the season. Academica against Stockton Cargo at Sherlock, again, Friday, May 10th at 7 p.m. So if you want to watch some soccer Friday night, Sherlock is the place you got to be at so you can go and check out another edition of the 209 Clásico. I know it's not called that, but I think that they're still trying to figure out a name. It should be, yeah, because that's the main 209 Classic game that we will have for now, at least. Hopefully that changes soon. But yeah, that should be a really good one. So there you have it. Those are the next games that they have going on here in the next week. All right. Well, one last thing. Sharon, you mentioned that you had something to talk about in Cal Expo situation.
Yeah, the flagpoles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So everybody, I mean, the social media has been rife with concerns about what the Cal Expo police, law enforcement have decided because there was an incident with respect to one person and a flagpole. And I don't know if it was the end of last season or if it was the game prior to this one at home. Anyhow, so we're barred as fans from bringing flagpoles into the stands. And if we bring a flag without a pole, it can't be any larger than 3x5. So, I mean, like, what about the TIFOs? What about, it just seems like a bunch of nothing, something out. And it doesn't make sense because it's obvious they don't like us there. That's not what I'm saying. I'm sure they love receiving the rent money and, you know, what we pay for and all of that through the ticket sales and the parking. And, you know, they like that part, but they're trying to figure good balance, I guess, the Cal Expo police. So it makes no sense to me. It wasn't something that we enacted as a, not we, I should say the club. It's just a response from something. So that's where we stand. It's a unsolved, and still unsolved. I mean, there's an outcry. I don't think we should punish the club for this. You know, some people are saying boycott, don't make any noise in the stands. That's not the right way to go. You still show up as fans. You know, unfortunately, it's not the club's fault that the state police or the Cal Expo police have made this edict because of things, unruly behavior in TBB or in wherever. It doesn't matter where it occurs, but they're really trying hard to prevent unruly behavior. The police are, not the club, but the club has to obey the rules that are enacted by the owners of the stadium, and it's Cal Expo and Cal Expo's police. So that's where we stand.
It's just another reason why we need to get our own stadium. We need to get the rail yards, you know, red. I mean, it's been shovel ready for the past few years. We need to take action on it.
Well, even if we had our own stadium, Jared, there would still be a situation, you know, we all know this, that the fans have to abide by a certain behavior. Otherwise, they could either get banned, they could whatever. I think banning the person or banning that is the way you deal with a situation. You don't do a sweeping ban of all things that make up the supporters. You just don't do that. You figure out who it was that was playing Lancelot with, you know, their pole, and that's who you deal with. But instead, it's a sweeping ban, and hopefully it'll be reconsidered, and hopefully the club goes to bat. But for anybody who listens to the podcast, and you are thinking that you will not cheer or you will not show up, and that's just not the way to go. You still show up. You still cheer. It's not the club making the decision. The club can fight it, and hopefully they will. And you know darn well, behind the scenes, they will, because I'm understanding that this decision may have been made behind closed doors and our people were not involved. So it's just kind of like it's a very touchy situation. We don't want to be kicked out as tenants, because then where are you going to go? So we have to...
Chuck Hughes. and I'm like, I know you don't like to hear Hughes Stadium, but...
Oh, no. No. We do not want to.
No.
No Hughes Stadium, please. No Hughes Stadium. Yeah. And so right now there's no other place that would house us, you know, as big as we are.
as many fans, so we have to abide by the rules. And so I would just say, please don't boycott. Please don't boycott just because of, you know, what the Cowlitz School police are doing. Don't boycott the game.
Yeah, no, I hope that they realize that it's 100% not the team, because they've been able to take in the flagpoles for really long time, right? Basically, for the 10 years that the team has been around, they've been allowed to do so, and the team would never, ever do that. And I'm with you. Just ban the person who caused everything, because worldwide, supporter groups take in flagpoles. We see it in MLS as well. So there should be no issue, right? And maybe these Cowlitz Expo police aren't soccer savvy. Maybe they're not trained in the soccer culture. Maybe we need to do some workshops in Sacramento and invite them. Like, hey, come over, learn more about what it's like, right, in soccer. I'm not even just talking about worldwide. I'm talking about like locally, so they understand like this is something that is done with MLS teams as well. They seem to handle it correctly. If there's any issues, they ban the fan that caused them, and that's that. They take care of it, and everything is solid. I think they need to go and experience the game. What used to be, what is it now, the BMO Stadium in LA, LAFC's home, and actually look at their supporters group, because you know how many flags they have. You know the TIFOs that they come up with. They make it happen. And I know they've had their own issues, of course, just like any team has issues, but they've been able to actually fix them. So I'm just saying they need to make sure that they, you know, get up to date with what goes on in soccer culture around the country, and not do something like that, because I get it. It bothers people. It bothered me as well, and I'm not carrying a flagpole inside the stadium, but you want that. You know, you don't want the culture to go away, and they're the ones that are doing all the chants throughout the game, and it's nice when they can give the flagpole to someone else and people can actually wave it. I know one time when I was there, my cousin actually got to wave the flag, and it was a really cool experience for him to actually be able to wave the flag that is seen throughout the stadium on TV. So I hope that, you know, they can get those flagpoles back and people don't have to literally just carry the flag and try to like wave the flag. But hey, I guess there's ways. If it ends up being banned, I challenge people in the supporters group to actually figure out a way to still bring in all the flags. If you got to do like a quilt or something where everyone holds the flag up, you can make it happen. But, you know.
So I'm just going to read a post about what is being alluded to is happening. That it didn't have to do with a minor initially. The Phoenix game last season, there was apparently a fight with non-TBB fans and allegedly a few TBB supporters over the flag being waved because the people behind them couldn't see. Anyhow, Cal Expo PD didn't say anything for 5 months about the flagpoles, and the first game of the season this year is when the issues with the flagpoles started. It is freaking, that's not the word, ridiculous that they failed to expect us to be okay with that, with what they say without an open discussion first. This is the person posting. He is all for going to the levee, but if they single out a few people for singing songs that everybody else is singing, then I personally think going to the levee or leaving the stand as a group is acceptable, but that is just my opinion. However, Scott, another person says, boycotting won't do anything. It's not the front office at all. It's Cal Expo PD, and us not being there is exactly what they want. If you want to annoy them, keep showing up. My point exactly, keep showing up. Don't walk out on this. It's not the front office. They're fighting for us. They weren't even involved in meetings. So the front office is actually trying to fight for us. And yes, you know, we can be petty and say, well, the front office has flags on poles. Well, yeah, because that's allowed and they're off in the corner and they're not up in the stands. They're not blocking views. They don't wave them during the game. They're set aside. So, you know, there's a difference. So we can all be adults about this. We can support our squad, and that's what we need to do. So thank you for letting me read those.
Oh, yeah. No, thanks for mentioning that as well. That's something that I wanted to bring up, and I completely forgot about what was the hot topic last week, right? And everyone was talking about it here, and I hope it gets addressed, and we'll keep everyone updated on what goes on. And yeah, I agree with what they're saying. Like, best way to protest is actually being in the stands, because yeah, it clearly they get bothered by that, right? They make security at Cal Expo work more just by having to have more security around the supporters groups, right? And They don't want that, but hey, make them work. That's what they're there for. They're there to actually, you know, work. So don't make them just stand and watch the game. Cool. Well, last final parting words, Sharon, Jared, before we say goodnight and see everyone. Well, before we say goodnight and see everyone who's going to Phoenix, and hopefully you let us know if you are going, because we would like
we
to have
get
you, on.
You on here.
Yes.
We want to interview you here live and in person. We want you on the show. So yeah, it'd be fun. But you have to watch your language, because we don't want to give Luis extra work for bleeping everybody. But my last words are, Jared, safe move. I care about you. I know you're going to do well wherever you go. And, you know, happy packing. You know, I'm actually going to miss you out of the Phoenix area, because there was a day I was planning to come and go to a match with you in Phoenix. If I didn't already have plans on May the 4th, I was thinking, I wonder if I could just sneak out on a flight and just quickly get in and out and go to a match with you. But we'll have to do it down the road in the future, you know, when times are different, and we'll, all three of us will end up somewhere at a match. So, and go Republic.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to that time, whether it be in Phoenix or maybe in Monterey might be good, or maybe even San Antonio, you know, who knows? But last thoughts also real quick, as a time of recording, happy belated birthday to Blake Willie. He turned 18 yesterday, this past Sunday, as of recording time. And then today we have a Jared birthday. No, not mine. So, nope, it's Jared Timmer's birthday today at the time of recording. So happy birthday, Jared Timmer. And, you know, we've got at least one more Jared birthday coming down the line sometime soon, Jared Mazzola. So we haven't forgotten about you, Jared. That just sounds so weird saying that, either way, you know, thank you, Arizona, you know, for all you've afforded me. You know, I can't wait to be back here, and hopefully this week it's on to Kilgore, Texas, and go Republic.
Yeah, no, it definitely sounds funny, especially because it sounds like you're speaking to yourself, and in context of like you leaving and hoping people don't forget about you in Arizona there. For mine, again, if you're getting the chance to go to Phoenix, hopefully you have a good experience, just like Jared and I did. Of course, we weren't watching Sacramento when we went. I hope that everyone there is also welcoming. I mean, we know the fan base. We haven't really had an issue with them before, so I hope that they welcome them as much as we would welcome them as well if they actually go to Sacramento and, you know, enjoy the food, enjoy all the festivities. I'm sure, again, they're going to have like some Star Wars themed day just because it falls on May 4th. But with that being said, everyone, have a good night, good morning, whenever you might be listening to this, and you'll hear us next week here on State of the Republic Podcast.
Go Cal Storm, and cue the music.
And then another one out to John for give me predictions for Colossal of Grad. I'm sorry, not sorry. Let me say that again.
You can say that again, because I forgot to thank my Mike for giving me Glasses of Gratitude, otherwise known as a good score line, etc. Technically, nobody talks to the coach. Nobody on staff is allowed to talk to coach, except for his coaches. So, like I said, I didn't see Connor doing that. I didn't know that that's what he was doing. I'm hoping it was actually something else and not that, but because he has to do the announcing of all of that, maybe what was the confusing part. I don't know. But, well,
no, yeah. Connor
so
Donovan.
I don't want to belabor that, because honestly, I didn't see it.
No, Connor Donovan. Not.
Oh, Connor Donovan.
Not Connor Sutton. Yeah, I'm like,
rewind.
Like one of them Connors.
All right, I'll put all that in the bloopers, because that was really funny, but yeah.
Oh, Jesus, pick your Jared, pick your Connor. Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, so